Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a nonprofit with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Change menus, change lives. Learn more at chefscollaborative.org.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and I'm really excited about today because today we're talking about squirrels. I'm psyched. I can't wait. I've got Cookie the Squirrel and Tumbleweed Squirrely on the show with their respective parents, and so I just want to get started and start talking. So, Gil, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How's Cookie doing these days?
She's doing great. She's sitting in the Florida sun right now.
I'm jealous. That's where I want to be right now. And Sarah, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
So how's Tumbleweed doing?
He's doing great.
Awesome.
He's been, he had his spa day today to get ready for the show.
Oh, I'm jealous. I wish I could do that. That sounds great. So first off, thank you both for being on the show. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day. And Cookie's been on already once before, and so our listeners know all about her, but we don't know about Tumbleweed. So actually, Sarah, can you tell us a little bit, about Tumbleweed and introduce him to our crew?
Sure. He's a special needs squirrel. He has hydrocephalus, which is basically like water on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
It causes pressure to build up in his head, which can cause brain damage. And he does have brain damage because we didn't know that he had hydrocephalus for so long. And he's just not your typical squirrel at all. He can't do normal squirrel things.
So how did you get him?
He was actually with a family with his two siblings, and we really don't know what happened, but he was a normal squirrel at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So either it was some kind of head injury or he was born with it and it just progressively got worse.
And so how old is he now?
Right now he is 18, 19 months old.
Okay, cool. Cool. And how long have you had him for?
Since November of 2015.
Oh, wow. So he's been with you for a long time then.
Yeah.
Cool. And so it's so funny. I mean, there's, you know, squirrels are everywhere and everybody loves them. And so winding up taking care of a squirrel, Gil, how did Cookie wind up in your life?
Well, it was one of those typical wild Florida rainstorms. I came through and you know, sun was setting and took the dog for a walk and was walking out and noticed this little, I mean, she was pink, tiny, tiny, still had the umbilical cord attached.
Oh,
when
wow.
I found her. So the nest was destroyed and you know, it was kind of chilly after that. So I scooped her up and ran home and hopped on the internet like most people would do and Google, what do you do when you find a squirrel? And luckily found a guy that had posted some videos on Facebook in a similar situation and just kind of followed it to a T.
Wow.
And I'm sure Sarah will attest that it's a lot of work with a baby squirrel. I mean, it's almost like a human baby. They have to be fed every few hours and kept a certain temperature. And she's turning 2 in July. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. It's, yeah, so like, I mean, obviously, I'm assuming that neither of you had squirrel experience before these guys came into your lives.
I didn't. I mean, I always enjoyed squirrels like most people and fed the squirrels, but this was kind of my first attempt at it, and it turned into kind of a love affair for squirrels. and just kind of, you know, you become that person that somebody finds one nearby, they'll call you and email and say, oh, no, I found one. What do I do? And so it kind of developed from there.
And so now you're the squirrel guy.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Sarah, how about you?
Tumbleweed was actually our fourth squirrel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we had two, the first ever, Jude and Judy.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept them over winter and then released them. And then Toby came along. He was a cat attack baby.
Oh.
And we had to overwinter him, and then we released him late spring. We've had our share.
Yeah, really. You're like an expert compared to, you know, everybody else. That's a lot of squirrels. That's great. And so do the ones that you've released, do they ever come back and visit? Like, did you release them near you?
We have Judy in our backyard. She calls the tree that we released her. We released her right at this tree and put a nest box up, and she's had several litters of babies, and you can call her down, and she takes treats.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And we believe we see Toby and another one, Frankie, in the yard a lot.
Uh-huh.
And the only one that we don't see anymore is Jude. So they kind of hang around.
They're smart. They know where they're going to get spoiled and taken good care of. That's really sweet, though. I love that. And so with Tumbleweed, like, what's a typical day like for you and Tumbleweed?
Well, I work, so his Aunt Lulu takes care of him all day
mm-hmm.
while I'm here. And by the time you wake him up and get him kind of cleaned up a little bit and fed and then cleaned up again and then clean his bed, you spend about an hour just doing the feeding and the cleaning and cleaning his bed each time. And we feed him three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has to have his medicines a couple times a day. So it can be pretty time-consuming just in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not including, you know, making all of his baby food meals and washing the bazillion loads of laundry. He has good days and he has bad days.
Mm-hmm.
Just like anybody else would.
Fair enough. Your level of commitment is really, really admirable. I mean, most people would.
Work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if most people would be able to handle it, you know. And I thank you for being so loving and being so caring for this little guy, because, you know, it's important.
Well, yeah.
I would not be able to look for him on
Instagram. It's at Tumbleweed Squirrely, and I'll say it is very, I don't know, it's just one of those feel-good Instagrams. And I know you probably get a lot of messages, but it's just amazing to see, you know, the fellow squirrel community and just people who love animals kind of respond to his posts. And she posts very comical posts and things that are great. So there's a lot of followers and a lot of love for Tumbleweed out there.
I was looking at it over the weekend, and it was like, oh, my God. I mean, Tumbleweed's got, like, you know, 2 billion followers, basically. I was like, I'm looking, you know, one day I'm hoping I'll have as many followers as Tumbleweed if I can. That would be awesome. But it's like, I find that the people that are involved in the squirrel community are really a tight-knit group and are really, really willing to help each other out. And I have a friend who used to do a lot of things with squirrels, and it was the same kind of thing. Like, the people that were involved were really, really committed, and it was really nice people, too. So it's nice to see that, you know, people are willing to share information and are willing to help other people out if they do have problems, and that there's answers on the internet now too, which makes things a lot easier as well.
Definitely. I've hit Sarah up when Cookie got a cold, and you know, you panic like any squirrel parent because you don't know what to do. It's not like you can, you know, put him in the car and take him to the vet and be like, my squirrel's sick. So everybody kind of helps each other out. And you know, there's a squirrel, it's Tintin Squirrel, and I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with his Instagram, but he had a harness for his, and I hit him up and asked him where he got the harness from, and he's like, hey, I'll send you one. So, I mean, he's in Denmark, and he sent one to Florida for me.
That's so sweet.
A lot of cool squirrel people out there.
That's really nice to hear. And so, I mean, Gil, for you, what is it like living with a squirrel in your house?
It's interesting. So I have a little atrium area that we've, you know, built toys and trees and all the rest of it. And, you know, I think everybody sees on Instagram all the cute posts where they're cuddly. But as Sarah mentioned, there's a whole other side to having a squirrel in captivity. They're very messy animals. Mm. And if they're running around the house, anything and everything that they can chew on, they will. So your nice wood furniture.
Oh, and God, anything. Yeah.
Power cords, they love to test. So you really got to keep an eye out on them.
Man, that can be fun. Yeah, so have you had to, like, squirrel-proof your entire home?
Yeah, mainly, you know, I think it's just really being attentive when they're out, because they are very high energy, and like to explore. And I found many a nuts and pockets hanging in the closet or in my shoes when I go to put them on. So nothing beats the instinct of hiding things around the house. And we find quite a few.
So is this something, I mean, for, let's say, I don't know, typical person, okay, finds a squirrel. Is this, like, having a squirrel in your homes, is this something that you recommend for, like, the average Joe?
No.
Okay.
No, they squirrels really make terrible pets. We try to tell people that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, they are messy. They tend to turn into, I mean, they're sweet, cuddly babies, and then all of a sudden they decide one person is theirs and one person only, so they will bite.
Oh, wow.
Other family members, and they're very expensive. You have to give them the proper diet. It's really not a good pet unless you just enjoy being the only person that can be allowed
mm-hmm.
in the room with them.
Oh, wow.
You don't like taking vacations or anything like that. I mean, if you're that kind of person, then the squirrel's for you, but really, they make terrible pets.
You know, it's funny. I was talking about this earlier with a friend of mine who's a dog trainer that I had lunch with, and we were talking about there's apparently a fox who's this huge internet sensation who's been rescued, and he lives at home, and there's all these pictures of the dog with the fox and the dog cuddling everyone, and the fox actually bit the owner in the face, I get recently, because it's on the Instagram. And I respect the fact that she put this on to show. And then we were talking about, like, raccoons, and there's so many wild animals that when they're babies, they're, oh my God, they're so cute, and then people rescue them, and then when they start getting, you know, their hormone growths, and then they're adults and they're ready to mate, they may become aggressive. And so many people don't understand that, like, rescuing a wild animal is not a Disney cartoon.
Exactly.
That's the part that scares me.
For sure. Yeah. And I'd say that, I mean, like, Cookie was kind of like an accidental pet. I mean, we knew nothing about catching and releasing, but I've learned a lot, and we've you know, had a few people bring over baby squirrels, and we get them back to health and then release them, and that's obviously the best thing for a wild animal. But there's a lot of local rescues and people who do a lot of amazing work that that help out there. But, yeah, they do make terrible pets. from that aspect, and it's almost like we need to start another social media campaign, because there's, you know, some other ones that we talk to online. You know, Squirreltopia is his rescue, and Jill the squirrel, I think her Instagram is This Girl Is a Squirrel. She's got like 500,000 followers.
Holy cow!
I think we all need to post, like, all the chew marks on your computer mouse, and the chew marks here as well, just to give people the idea of, like, oh, well, maybe there's the other side to owning a squirrel.
Well, I mean, that's the problem, is they're just so damn cute, you know? So it's like, oh, my God, how bad could this be? Oh, my God, you know? It's really, like, you know.
For sure.
Especially because people don't understand the fact that, like, a small wild animal, even a small domestic animal, needs a ton of exercise. So, you know, what might be good for your pug is not going to be enough for a squirrel or, you know, most other animals. And if they don't get that energy out, it's going to be more fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
And they require a lot of enrichment.
Ooh.
You know, you have to keep I mean, you have to keep giving them new things to do and play with and everything else because they just kind of go a little bit squirrely, you know, and that's tough for some people to keep that up. They tend to put them in a cage, and they want to leave them in a cage because they might act aggressive or they tear everything up. Well, you know, then that's 10 times worse for the squirrel because they're cooped up and they start acting, doing repetitive things over and over, and it's just, you know, it's not good all the way around for anyone.
It's interesting because it's the same horses. If they're kept in too much confinement, they'll weave, which is like kind of like a swaying back and forth, you know? And so it's interesting to see that behavior scans mammals.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and
you'll see them do flips. You know, you've seen videos of squirrels doing flips over and over and over again.
Yeah.
That's the same thing, you know?
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, this is the thing, too, is it's, there's so much, I mean, well, a friend of mine always says, you know, just because it's cute and fuzzy doesn't mean it's ideal, you know, and I think squirrels really fall under that, and it's a tough one because, you know, they're little, so people are like, oh, they're small like a guinea pig or something like that, so I can see, I mean, I was obsessed with squirrels as a child. My first stuffed animal was a squirrel puppet named Mr. Squirrel. Yeah, I was two. Give me a break. But, you know, so like I understand that dire obsession and just, oh, my God, they're so cute. They're so cute. You know, and so I think when people realize that this is actually a wild animal with like claws and sharp teeth, you know, it's not ideal, and I'm grateful that they're not starting to try to domesticate squirrels as pets, because what you guys are saying, it sounds like it just, that wouldn't work either.
Yeah, well, some people try to sell them on Craigslist as pets.
Oh, God.
That's wrong, but, you know, you just imagine Freddy Krueger claws.
Oh, God.
Running up and down you. So you have to, like, a lot of people have to, like, keep several layers on just to keep their skin from being shredded from a squirrel just playing on you.
Wow.
You know, and when they can bite down to the bone.
Yow.
So yeah. I've experienced that. We, you know, I have my collection of hoodies because, yeah, their nails are designed to penetrate bark and scale trees. So when it comes in contact with the human skin, it leaves quite the marks, and you know, I have people make a joke when they saw my arms before I figured out that I needed to wear a sweatshirt every time. They're like, "What are you sword fighting for fun?" Like, I mean, it's definitely.
Well, we need to take a break for station identification, but I'm talking to Cookie the Squirrel and Tumbly Squirrely's parents all about their kids. We'll be back in about a minute and a half, so stay tuned.
This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a national nonprofit network with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Chefs Collaborative members work to make sustainable practices second nature for every chef in the United States. Chefs Collaborative was founded in 1993 by visionary chefs including Rick Bayless and Alice Waters, who acknowledged the influential role of food professionals on our food choices, our collective personal health, the vitality of cultures, and the integrity of the global environment. Chefs Collaborative believes that the greater culinary community can be a catalyst for positive change by expanding the market for good food and helping to preserve local farming and fishing communities. Change menus, change lives. Learn more about Chefs Collaborative at chefscollaborative.org.
And we're back. I am talking to Gil and Sarah all about Cookie and Tumbleweed the Squirrels. And Sarah, I had a question for you. Before the break, you talked about that squirrels really need a lot of enrichment. So how smart are squirrels? Can you, like, teach them to do things?
Oh, they're amazingly smart. I've seen videos of Tintin online where he works puzzles to get treats. But they can figure out just about anything when it comes to how to open up
Oh no!
And, I mean, they're amazing problem solvers. So, yeah, you have to do certain things with them. When June and Judy were young, we used to take nuts and we would, like, tape the ends of toilet paper rolls shut with treat inside it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of easy stuff for the babies, but it gets difficult when you have to think of things that you need to do for the older ones, especially if you plan on releasing them, because you can't just let them out to roam your house if they're going to attack you or bite you.
Yeah.
They have to have something to do.
I can't imagine a depressed squirrel, like how bad that would be. You know, I would imagine that there'd just be so much lashing out behavior just out of sheer frustration.
Yes. Yeah, it kills me when I see the videos of the squirrels online doing flips in their cages. And the people, I mean, when you first see it, if you don't know what you're looking at, they're laughing because they're like, oh, that's hilarious. Look at them.
Yeah.
And you're doing the same thing over and over again. Well, if you're familiar with squirrels, then you know that they are bored. They're stressed. And, you know, it's terrible to see that.
I can't watch any video of, I mean, I can't even handle the ASPCA commercials. I swear to God. Like, I'm so bad at doing research on things like that because I'm just like, I just can't see it. I can't see it. You know, it's terrible. But so a question for both of you guys. In terms of, like, Sarah, what you were just saying about having to prep them to release them, it's like, I mean, I would think most people would assume that, you know, the squirrel hits a certain age and then you open the front door and go, okay, see you later. Good luck, my friend. So, like, what kind of prep work do you guys have to do in order to ensure the squirrel's going to be okay?
They call it a soft release. You know, if you have squirrels and you're raising them and you there's nothing wrong with them and they're releasable, then you want to keep the contact with them kind of to a minimum. You don't want them to, you know, be imprinted on people, because the last thing you need is to release a squirrel that will approach any person.
Yeah.
But when they get to be of age, you have a proper cage that you build outside and you introduce them to that, and they spend several weeks in the cage where they can wild up.
Oh, cool.
And then that way they get familiar with the sights, the sounds, and the smells of being outside. They have, you know, a nest box in the cage also, so they have somewhere safe to be, and they're out of the weather. And you still provide them their food and water, but you limit your interaction with them to just that.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they start showing signs of, like, kind of being scared of you when you walk out there, then you open up a small release portal that's big enough basically for them to come and go from, and they will climb out and explore their new territory. And, you know, you still provide them with food for a couple weeks and let them learn how to get their own food source. You try to do that in the warm weather months. You want leaves to be on the trees so they're well hidden from predators. It's basically a soft release. You don't want to throw them out the door because they've never had to live on their own and survive. And they also need their own territory. So if you just catch one in your attic and you take them down the street and release them somewhere else, you're dumping them in someone else's territory. And they'll get run off, and they have nowhere to call home when it gets dark. Well, tossing a squirrel out in the yard after you've raised them is basically the same thing. They need to establish territory, and by them being in the yard in the release cage, the other wilds will learn that that particular area belongs to these squirrels.
Oh, wow.
And then they're okay.
That's wild. So about how long does a soft release take from once you put them in the cage outside till that door's open?
Oh, I think it really just depends on the squirrels and as much, you know, how much handling you did with them while you had them.
Mm-hmm.
We usually went 4 to 6 weeks with ours outside. Some people go less, but there are a lot of people who rehab, and they raise the babies and they limit their contact completely to strictly to feeding, especially when they get more mobile. And so the babies are already pretty wild.
Mm.
when it comes time for them to be released. So it takes less time for them to acclimate to, you know, they don't have to wild up as much as some others might.
Yeah, they're already pretty wild to start.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That's pretty quick.
I wouldn't say it's cut and dry. It's really, it all depends on the squirrels.
Fair enough. And I love that you say that because, you know, because it really doesn't depend on the individual and to have a blanket. Well, no, it, you know, day 22, they're on their own. You know, it could work for some, but it's not going to work for all of them.
Yeah, just like kids.
Exactly. Exactly. But you got to wait until they're, you know, 18 or something before you can stick them in the cage, unfortunately.
Right.
So, Gil, what typically happens to a squirrel when they're in need of rescue?
Yeah, and that's a good question. I mean, so when I found mine, obviously she was, you know, tiny and pink, and I really didn't know much about it, but I think it's good to bring up. So I think a lot of the squirrels that are found, I mean, if they're small and even if their eyes aren't open, unless something's happened to the mom, so it's usually like a tree tremor or a big storm, the mom is close by. Mm. And she will come back for the babies. So I think a lot of people find them and then they immediately bring them inside and then, you know, look online or go drop them off. But I mean, I've done this just a few times in my neighborhood in the last year. Mm-hmm. Storm comes through, the nest gets destroyed. You know, we take the babies, just put them in a little cardboard box, and then leave them by the tree and just kind of get out of sight. As soon as those babies start making noises, it's probably one of the most rewarding things when you see the mom come flying out of a nearby tree or bushes and, like, jumps in and grabs the babies and then takes them. And one of the things I learned is that squirrels normally have two nests. So, like, there's, like, a backup nest, and then that's where this mom went. Yeah, the tree trimmer cut down the tree and then put the babies out there by the stumps, and she came over and got them and ran right up to another tree and had another nest ready.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
God, that would be nerve-wracking. I wouldn't be able to do this. So, like, do you see a lot of squirrels that are hit by cars?
It really depends on you know, the neighborhood and all the rest of it. I feel like they're pretty smart, and I guess that's, like, you know, there's even jokes around the squirrel who couldn't make up their mind and all the rest of it. But normally I think it's when they're playing or they're chasing each other is when they cross traffic. Mm-hmm. Or if it's nesting season and they're out searching for food, and, you know, we're kind of driving through their neighborhood, so I have to keep an eye out.
And so, I mean, this is such the awful question. I even hate to ask you guys this, but do you guys have any idea about how many squirrels, like, get abandoned or injured of that group? Do you know how many get help?
Oh, well,
I know, yeah. Right? Worst question ever. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get a clue of, like, you know, how many rescues there are out there for people that work with squirrels, or, you know, if this is something that's common or if it's something just incredibly unusual.
There's a lot. I mean, so Sarah, you know, our mutual Instagram friend that runs a rescue, I believe it's in the Carolinas, Squirreltopia.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she has, I mean, I want to say 50 to 60 at any given time that she's caring for. But yeah, I mean, it can get up there. So I think it just depends on the area and if you're able to be found easily and how you get these things to the appropriate rescue or wildlife rehabber.
So let's say, I don't know, somebody's, you know, Joe Average again, back out, finds a squirrel. What should they do with it?
If it's injured, let's say, or for sure it's been orphaned, they can contact their local Department of Natural Resources.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a link on there for wildlife rehab of some sort. And if that's not helpful to them, then there is another website. It's called Animal Help Now.
Uh-huh.
And they have an app you can download to your Android or iPhone.
Oh, cool.
And you can actually type in your location and get a list of local rehabbers in your area.
Wow.
It will tell you if they, you know, deal with small mammal or, you know, reptiles. It'll just tell you, you know, specifics on which one to contact. But it's always best to, like, try to ask questions, especially when you're dealing with certain wildlife centers.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an injured, let's say, juvenile or a wild squirrel, you want to make sure that when you take them in, or you're taking them somewhere, that you're not taking them somewhere for them to be put to sleep automatically because they've been injured.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that you kind of want to ask and find out. Because if they tell you, oh, yeah, we're just going to euthanize, then it might be best to try to find a rehabber instead of a wildlife center.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really good for people to ask the right questions before they even tell anyone their name or anything else. You know, they just tell them, we have this squirrel. It's, you know, been run over.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But Animal Help Now has a great listing, and it's kept up to date of a lot of animal rehabbers. And that website is ahnow.org.
Cool. I want to check that out. And so for, I mean, what most people, I think, would do is the first thing on their mind if they found an injured squirrel or an orphan squirrel would be to take it to a vet. Do you guys recommend this?
No.
Okay.
I mean, unless you are one of the fortunate people who live in a state like Florida or South Carolina, where it's perfectly legal for just any person to have a squirrel, and there are exotic vets that will see your squirrel.
Yeah.
A regular vet is not going to treat wildlife. So it's really not a good thing to take them in, because a lot of times they won't do anything except maybe euthanize.
Oh, God. Okay, so that's a good thing to know. That's a really good thing to know. So many people are like, oh, we'll just take him to the neighborhood vet. But, you know, the neighborhood vet hasn't been studying squirrels for the past 20 years either. So, they, you know, they're going to have to research the hell out of it if they're even going to take the case. So,
yeah, right. Yeah, good advice for sure.
Yeah, that's something that I think is really important. And then, I mean, Gil, what should people do if they find a baby squirrel? Same thing?
Yeah, no, I think Sarah was spot on with that website and finding the appropriate rehabber that knows what to do. I mean, I think you got to keep them warm and find help fast, because when they're really tiny, I mean, it can turn on a dime if they're going to make it or not. So
yeah.
I wouldn't wait the night or you know, delay at all. And there's plenty of places online. I mean, you can see on Facebook and all that how fast people are to messages. You know, respond to messages now.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people willing to offer advice and help out.
Oh, that's so cool. I mean, I just No, please go ahead.
The number one thing that most people do that they should never do, especially when it comes to the very young squirrels,
mm-hmm.
is they try to feed them or give them water. And, you know, if you don't have the proper supplies to do that or even know exactly what to give them,
mm-hmm.
you can aspirate them. And
oh,
if
God.
You give them something and then you lie to the rehabber that gets them and say, no, I didn't give them anything, and they did aspirate,
yeah.
they'll get what they call aspiration pneumonia, and then... You know, that can kill them sometimes 24 to 48 hours. And if they don't get antibiotics in them almost immediately, the rehabber's not going to know.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have, you know, the little one is not going to make it.
Oh, that's so sad.
So that's the one thing that most people should always try to keep in mind is just make sure it's warm and don't give it anything to eat or drink.
I think that's a huge, huge tip. Sarah, thank you for that, because I think everyone, you know, immediately visualizes, like, I'm going to wrap him in a blanket and I'm going to feed him milk from a syringe because I saw it on TV. You know, so great. It's good intentions, but if you don't know what you're doing, it's better to let the experts do that.
Exactly.
Well, sadly, we are running out of time, which is a bummer because I love squirrels and I love talking to you guys about squirrels. But I know you guys have tons of super awesome information and Instagram pages. So if you'd like to start with those, Sarah, you want to go first and tell us where we can find everything we've ever wanted to know about Tumbleweed?
Oh, he has a Facebook page, and he's Tumbleweed Squirrely. And his Instagram is actually Tumbleweed Squirrely. And you can see just about everything that you would want to see on him on that. And then he also has his own thread with his entire life story on thesquirrelboard.com.
Oh, cool.
And that's from day one.
Wow.
Unlike these others. That's all he has on social media. It's hard enough to keep up with just those.
So. Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah, he's busy too. So, you know, he's got a lot of things he's got to do all day too. So, I don't know. That typing thing is a pain in the butt in my book. But and then, Gil, what about Cookie? Where's Cookie these days?
Oh, she's got a website, cookiethesquirrel.com, or Instagram at cookiethesquirrel.
Yay. Thank you guys so much for chatting. Please give them scratches and treats from me. I'm so happy to talk to you guys, and I'm really glad to have spread some information on how to help save the squirrels if you find one. So if you find one, don't be a hero. Do the research. Call your wildlife centers and, you know, help a little life out. That would be great. And so thank you guys again. Next week, I will be back with a brand new show. Thank you guys for listening. You can find me on Instagram, too, under Animal Instinct Radio. Or if you want to know what I do when I'm not in this booth, you can find me under BKLYN Celia. Thanks for listening. I will see you guys next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.